Those of you who are wondering where Pastor Nathan is, he is on vacation getting some much-deserved rest, and so please continue to keep him in your prayers and his family in your prayers as well. This morning, we are eagerly expecting to hear God's voice as we dive deeply into his word. Please pray with me before we begin. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for every moment in time, for every second that you give us, Lord. They're not guaranteed to us. But Father, because of your goodness to us, you allow us to have breath in our lungs. You give us spiritual life. And so we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for your church. And we thank you that your design for your church is 100% perfect. Your church is not about us. Help us to keep that in mind. Father, help us as we open up your word to really have open hearts and receptive hearts to the things that you have to say to us. And Lord, we ask that you would receive all the honor and the praise for everything that is said and done. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In May of 1962, something happened that was a game changer for my childhood. And no, I wasn't born then. So for those of you who thought this, shame on you. You're about 16 years off. The Incredible Hulk was given life in the comics by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. I love that the Hulk got to smash things and smash people when he got angry. Bruce Banner would give people ample warning when he felt backed into a corner and the Hulk was about to come out. And many times they simply refused to listen. And so when the Hulk came out, even as a child, I thought the people who were on the receiving end of the Hulk's wrath deserved it. The Hulk was always the good guy in my eyes, and I love to see his raw anger and frustration be unleashed. Even today, I still find myself like a little kid cheering for the Hulk in the Avenger movies. But I have a confession to make this morning. You see, although the Incredible Hulk is a fictional character, and it's comical and entertaining for me to watch on the big screen, with his raw, his unfiltered, an untamed anger, anger that is untamed, anger that is not surrendered to the Lord, is like a wildfire destroying everything and everyone in its path. I wish I could say that I have no personal experience with this, but that would be a lie, because while I haven't struggled with the desire to smash things or smash people, in my life I have struggled mightily with surrendering my anger to the Lord and allowing him to let me know what's really taking place within me. Last week, our student pastor, Travis, did an excellent job of kicking off our new sermon series entitled Summer Baggage. One of my favorite shows is Hoarders, and I know, don't judge me, my wife already gives me a hard enough time about watching it. Simplistically, the show is about people who have collected far too much junk and trash, although to them, it's not junk or trash, but their homes and their lives are completely overrun. Well, it's easy for me, perhaps you, to kind of look at those types of people and say, hey, there's no way that I can become like someone like that. Perhaps that's true, but the reality is that all of us carry baggage. Baggage in our lives on a daily basis, whether we are courageous enough to own and acknowledge that is a different question. You have baggage. I have baggage. We all have baggage. And if that doesn't sit well with you, well, that doesn't really matter, because it doesn't negate the truth of that. The baggage can take many forms: trauma, hurt feelings, personal loss, relational tension and conflict, our own sin. The list is endless. Some of the baggage we carry has been self-inflicted, and some has been inflicted upon us because of other people's baggage. Some is because we live in a lost and broken world. Regardless, it is important to know that our baggage will manifest itself in our lives, whether we want it to or not. Regarding this baggage, each of us will choose one of the following concerning how we deal with it. We will be runners, ignorers, suppressors, or owners. Only one of these four is healthy and what God desires. So today, we're going to talk about whether we are willing to submit and surrender this baggage into the hands of God. More specifically, the baggage of our own anger. The title of the lesson this morning is Firestarter or Trailblazer, like Glenn referred to in communion. Untamed anger that is not submitted to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It can set my world ablaze and the world around me in ways that leave a wake of damage and destruction. But this is only one side of the equation, because when I choose to follow in the steps of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I get to follow his lead. I get to follow his steps. A trail that he has already blazed, that transforms my life and the lives of the people around me. So our main text for this morning is John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. But before we get into the passage, a few words about anger are important. Anger is probably one of the most debated emotions, and the fact of the matter is that all of us experience anger to some degree in some form. Each of us in this room has had direct experiences with the reality that anger can be destructive emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. But frequently, we don't pause and take the time to consider what our anger is pointing to, what God wants to say to us in our anger, what he wants us to see, what he wants us to hear, what he wants us to learn in the midst of experiencing this multi-layered emotion. Tim Keller, an American theologian and apologist who just recently passed away, says the following about anger. Anger is actually a form of love. Anger is love in motion to deal with the threat to someone or something that we truly care about. And in many ways it can be right, but our anger typically points to other loves, to disordered loves, in which we are trying to find our significance, value, approval, and identity in things and people rather than inside of Jesus Christ. So today I really want to stress and emphasize that we won't be coming from the place that anger is bad or sinful in and of itself. Rather, we are going to be coming from the place of seeking to discern what God wants to say to us when we are angry, and what God wants us to know when we are angry. Please follow along with me on the screen or in your Bibles in John chapter 2, starting in verse 13. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This used to be one of my favorite stories in all of scripture, because I was like, yes, Jesus is finally giving it to these cheating, marginalizing, evil, wicked money changers. They're getting exactly what they deserve. I think in some ways I use this passage to sometimes just unleash on people and then say, well, it's the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. But through the years, as I have hopefully grown, matured, and been humbled by God, there's a richness and depth to this text that I missed for many years in my own faith journey. Make no mistake about it, Jesus is angry in this passage, and because we know that Jesus was 100% perfect when he walked the face of this earth, we can deduce that not all anger is bad. But I should ask myself some questions. Number one, is my anger me-centric or God-centric? Is my anger all about me, what I want, what I think I deserve, what I'm owed, what I believe I'm entitled to? Or does it have more so to do with God, his desires, and his kingdom? Number two, is my anger righteous? John lets us know the timing of this scene is the Passover, and this is extremely important because Jerusalem would have been crowded with thousands of visitors coming to the temple to worship. It was the dream and aim of every Jew to at least one time be able to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. And every Jew that was 19 years of age and older had to pay a temple tax equivalent to 2 days' wages so that the temple sacrifices and rituals could be carried out day by day. So Jews arrived at the temple with all different types of currency, thus the necessity of the money changers. So contrary to what many often say about this passage, it was not the presence of the money changers that was the problem. No, it was the fact that the money changers were cheating those coming to worship. They were exploiting individuals who were seeking to give honor to God. The Jews who were coming for the Passover desired to bring some type of animal sacrifice to God in the temple, but because they were coming from long distances, many times they purchased those animals in the temple courts. And again, the money changers were seeking to exploit human beings, souls, for their own benefit and profit. It was all this that moved Jesus to anger. Jesus' anger had everything to do with individuals misrepresenting his Father and making it difficult for individuals to come into the Father's presence. Jesus' anger was not about him. Jesus' anger was not about how he was treated. And if I'm being completely honest and candid with you, I look at my own life when I am angry, and it frequently has little or nothing to do with the growth and expansion of God's kingdom. My anger oftentimes has me at the center. I want you to hear me and not misunderstand. I'm not saying, and most importantly, I do not believe that God's word is saying or teaching that it's wrong to get angry. I don't believe God's word is teaching that it's okay for one human being to mistreat another human being. Quite the opposite, in fact. I believe that God has some extremely important things to teach me about him and his kingdom when I am angry. I believe that God desires to meet me in my anger and teach me what to do with it and how to respond in healthy ways that not only honor him, but allow me to be a better and stronger man or woman of God for his kingdom. Almost 5 years ago, I had a very close friend, and while I don't have time tonight this morning to go into all the details, I got very upset with him and intentionally decided to let go of that friendship. It would be easy for me to stand here this morning and tell you all the reasons that I had been hurt, tell you everything I think I deserved. But here's the reality. I allowed my anger to consume me. And this was no one's fault but my own. My anger burned, and while I knew God was calling me to sit with him in that anger and turn that anger over to him, I stubbornly refused for almost 5 years until early last month. And I was on social media and saw that he had been in an accident. And as clear as day, God asked me the following question: what are you doing? And what you see on the screen in front of you is the message that I sent to him. First and foremost, this message is long overdue, and I'm very sorry for this. I'm finally claiming the courage to send this that God has always held out for me. I have no expectations of a response from you, but I do owe you tremendous apologies, and I'm asking for your forgiveness regardless of any response. I let you down in many ways as a friend and most importantly as a brother in Christ. I withdrew from you and allowed Satan to use my woundedness to live from places of fear, brokenness, and dysfunction, which manifested itself in a multitude of unhealthy and broken ways. I harbored bitterness, resentment, and a lack of forgiveness in my heart towards you, and there are simply no excuses for that. I released those things a while ago, but like I said, I am finally claiming some of the courage that God has been holding out this entire time that I was choosing to be stubborn, hard-hearted, and rebellious. I realize that no words or actions, for that matter, change the past. I can't get moments in time back, but I can seek to capture the moments in time that God has placed in front of me. And this is what I am committed to doing. I would absolutely love to see you in person and give you a hug and tell you I'm sorry face to face, But I also understand that the timing may not be right for that and may never be right for that. Like I said earlier, I'm not expecting a response because I simply wanted to let you know that I've never stopped loving you with all my heart as my friend and brother. And I'm deeply sorry that my actions have not demonstrated this on many ways and on many levels. He has seen my message. I know this. But my friend and brother hasn't responded. And that's okay because the work that God did in me and is doing in me, it's not about getting a response. But it's more so about God refining and shaping my heart, mind, and soul to align more fully with who he is. Since that time early last month, I've sat with the Lord and asked some very difficult questions. 5 years is a long time to be stubborn. I have had to come face to face with the wake of damage and destruction that my untamed anger caused. I continue to release and re-release my anger about this situation into his hands, so it's not just something that has gone away. But here's the thing. Since I made that decision last month, I have been liberated to love more fully as God does. I've been freed to be laser focused on the things that matter most in this life and the next one, where I will spend eternity with the Father. So our Lord and Father realizes that we are going to get angry, but even in that anger, God desires to grow us up, to align us with who he is. Listen to what God, through Paul, tells the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. The interesting thing about this phrase, be angry, is that in the original language, it's in the form of a command. God is telling his people, God is telling us, there are things to be angry about in this world. But then there are three other commands in verses 26 and 27, and each of these commands have to do with our responses as men and women of God in the times that we get angry. The reality of the situation for me personally is that I cannot handle my anger on my own. When I try to, it ends up in being a train wreck. But when I choose to release my anger to the Lord, he takes it and he transforms me, but he also transforms the world around me. And that is some of the best news ever. All of us are different with diverse personalities and varying backgrounds, but I do believe that there is a question that is applicable to each one of us. When I'm angry, how does God call me to respond and release as his man or woman? Perhaps you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, well, I have anger mastered. That's not my baggage. And I would say, great, but you have baggage. So whatever your baggage, I believe God asks you the same question. How are you going to respond and release as his man or woman? This doesn't happen by accident, nor is it an automatic. There are many ways to do this, but today we are going to see and practice one of the ways to respond and release as God's man or woman. At this time, I'm going to invite some of my dear brothers and sisters to come on stage with me. As they are coming up, I've asked each of them to identify one piece of baggage from their own life that they need to release to God as his man or woman. One piece of baggage that has wounded them, that has wounded the lives of the people around them, and that has wounded the world around them. The reality is that we all sin, and that's biblical. Romans 3:23 and a multitude of other passages, so don't take my word for it. The other reality is that all sin wounds. We don't like to talk about that, but it is true. It wounds my life, and it wounds the lives of the people around me. And that's also biblical. You will hear each person say the following statement. Before God, with the people of God, I confess to my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world. After each person finishes, We as the church, as a community of faith, as the family of each person up here, will verbally say the following. May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen. It's important to understand that there is nothing magical or mystical in what we are about to do. Rather, it's simply one way to open ourselves up to the Lord, to release our baggage and allow Him to transform us from the inside out. Before God, with the people of God, I confess to my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world by seeking to hurt those closest to me when I feel hurt by them.
Christ renew you. Grow in love. Amen. Before God, with the people of God, I confess to my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world by bringing up the past during arguments.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen.
Before God, with the people of God, I confess to my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world, by letting my pride get in the way of growing in relationships with others.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen.
Before God, with the people of God, I confess to my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world by withdrawing from fellowship and not being present at times with my community of faith.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen.
Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world by being selfish and vindictive towards those I love the most.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen.
Before God, with the people of God, I confess to my brokenness, to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world, by pushing my agenda above others because I feel as if mine is more important.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Amen. Thank you. Make no mistake, releasing baggage to the Lord takes a great deal of courage, takes a great deal of vulnerability, and I don't have to stand on a stage in front of people to do this. But I do believe an important question that we should all be asking ourselves is the following. Am I in love with my emotions and feelings, or am I committed to and in love with Jesus? Emotions and feelings are not bad. In fact, I believe that God gives us these to teach and lead us, but emotions and feelings are terrible gauges upon which to make decisions because they change from day to day. And if you're anything like me, they change from second to second. When navigating our own baggage, it's important to remember that God has committed himself to us and we have committed ourselves to him. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to rely on our limited scope, our ever-changing emotions. Jesus has blazed a trail for us. Listen to the example of Jesus that Peter highlights in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The book of 1 Peter is oftentimes referred to as the Job of the New Testament because Peter is writing to Christians who are undergoing severe persecution under the Emperor Nero. So this isn't just warm and fuzzy language that Peter is using. He also isn't calling the people to just bury their heads in the sand and act like everything is okay. And sometimes Christians struggle with that as well. Releasing baggage to the Lord isn't about acting like everything is okay and nothing affects you and acting like you have everything together. Because typically people know that's not true. Not living fully alive and fully human is unbiblical. Living in this world can be exhausting. It can be draining. It can be devastating. It can be hurtful. God does not want us to run from these realities and act like everything is always well all of the time. No. He desires that we more closely cling to him, that we more fully give all of those things to him. One of the ways in which Peter encourages the Christians in 1 Peter to endure and hold on is to cling tightly to Jesus and be laser focused on him. This is one of the reasons that Peter starts out his first letter talking about a living hope. Not living for the seen, but living for the unseen. I believe that there are many ways to be laser focused on Jesus. But one of those ways is to practice the art and discipline of celebration. Regardless of what's going on around us or within us, there's always something to celebrate. Every second, every day, no matter what. But it takes intentionality. It takes discipline. It takes practice. Many of you know that a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege to go to Turkana, Africa. And lots of you prayed, not only for me, but for the team and for the people there. And those prayers were felt. God taught me a ton of lessons during that time, but one of the lessons is those people know how to celebrate. They know how to celebrate with a passion and joy that is infectious and contagious. And no, contrary to an American misconception, it's not because they have less. It's because they make a decision. They make a decision to love God, and they make a decision to love others, and they make a decision to celebrate what God has given them. Not be focused on what they don't have. So today I want us to watch this very short clip of this video that never seems to get old to me, and pay particularly close attention to a lady that I affectionately refer to as a grandma in purple. Just like us, the people of Turkana have baggage to release to the Lord. And I believe it is in releasing and in this clinging to the Lord, there is freedom and this amazing liberty to celebrate. But releasing to the Lord isn't easy by any stretch of the imagination. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there is a little boy, Eustace, who turns into a dragon because he's greedy. There's a part in the book where he is describing how the lion Aslan, who represents God, turned him back into a boy from a dragon. And he says the following: "The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I have ever felt. Then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that much, for I was very tender underneath. I found that all the pain had gone from my arm. And then I saw why. I turned into a boy again." I believe that in some ways God desires to do the same for us. That's one of the things that spiritual transformation is all about. Allowing God to do what I cannot do for myself. And brothers and sisters, this is painful. But it's so well worth it. Because we all have baggage, we all have scales. We all have rough edges. But an appropriate question for us today as we are about to walk out those doors is, how will I allow God to undragon me? How will we allow God to undragon us? One of the magnificent things about God and his plans are that he not only has saved and forgiven us, but he also wants us to partner with him in growing and expanding his kingdom. He, the creator of the entire world, desires for you and me to be used for his honor and glory. He wants us to partner with him. The question is, will we point people away from us and point them to the one who matters most? Our family, our community, and the world are watching. will we point them to the trailblazer through how we live our lives? RCC, will you please stand with me? This morning we are going to sing a song called Gracefully Broken. And one of the lyrics to the song is, "Here I am, God, arms wide open." And I love the arms wide open image because for me it represents I'm open and I'm expecting to receive from the Lord. But it also represents I'm ready to release whatever I need to the Lord. And at RCC, we are a praying church. We do believe it is the fuel by which we are able to be on mission for God. And so if you would like the prayers of this church, we will have prayer warriors up here as we sing that will pray with you. If you want to follow the Lord in baptism, like Jackson did earlier, we celebrate with you. And we would love to be a part of that next step with you. But wherever you are at today, may we be people who love and live for our trailblazer, Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us every single thing that we need. You've empowered us. Father, you have called us conquerors, more than conquerors. And so, Father, help us to embrace that. Father, help us to live in the tension of celebration, of being laser focused on you, and also acknowledging that this world is not as it should be. Help us to live in that tension well. Father, help us to encourage each other, not to be so fixated on our own baggage, but to really be fixated on releasing that to you. And this morning, as we sing, may we sing our hearts out, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And we ask all these things through the power of Jesus' name. Amen.